yeah, we have plenty of time. So just let me know when you're ready.
Okay, so I'll always start out by just kind of going over what we're doing and how the video and audio will be used. Okay. So we're, you know, I'm with the state with the Folk Life program. Adam works for the archive. And Holly's with FSU, and so we all came together to work on this project about agriculture in Gadsden County.
Yeah.
And so we're super happy to have this opportunity to talk to you, because I know you have a long family history here and all that. And so what we'll do is we'll interview you, and we'll ask the questions that you already have, and we have audio and we have video, and mm-hmm. Adam will take some photos. And all of that material will be eventually turned into an exhibit that Holly's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other stuff will go to the state archives. So we're actually going to preserve this. Mm-hmm. So anybody in the future who wants to learn about your family history or about Gadsden County, they can go to the archive and see these recordings, listen to the recordings, see the videos.
Yeah.
My husband's history goes back further than I do in Gadsden County. But I go out back pretty far.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Whatever you would like to talk about.
Yeah, those are some of the first questions. So let me ask you, well, why don't you tell us your name?
My name is Rebecca Roughton Shaw.
Okay.
Okay.
And
date of birth?
Date of birth.
All right, September the 10th, 1925.
Okay, lovely. And Rebecca, did you grow up in Gadsden County?
Yes, I did. I was actually born in Bain, Cairo, Georgia, but at 1 year old, my family moved to Gadsden County. So the rest is
Gadsden rest is here.
County.
Well, that's great. And were your mother or father involved with agriculture, or what was their family business?
Well, my grandparents on my mother's side mm-hmm. were definitely involved in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And on my father's side, he came down from Alabama after the war, and mm-hmm. First World War,
mm-hmm.
and he was just a working man,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
businessman.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, but he ended up in the tobacco economy
mm-hmm.
because he was with Bud Cigar Company
hmm.
and they actually made the cigars, which was the product everybody was trying to grow. It was called the money product.
Huh.
But
huh.
of course,
yeah.
This was good land
uh-huh.
for vegetables, and particularly good for a crop like tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Had the right ground or sand. What is it we call it?
Soil.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And how did you and your husband met, and then was his family also in agriculture at that time?
Oh, they were very much into the growing of the tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Shaw had more than one plantation. This where we lived was just one of them.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, yeah, it was our livelihood.
Uh-huh. All tobacco at that point in time? All
shade
tobacco?
Well, it was. It was, like we said, the money crop. But as Wendy can remember, we had pecans, we had cattle, and the byproduct of the cattle was very important for the seed beds of the tobacco.
Mm.
Rich. You know, from mm-hmm. the cattle
uh-huh.
in bonds.
Uh-huh.
And what else did we have, Wendy?
Pecans, yeah. Tomatoes, tobacco.
Well, yeah, tomatoes came later.
Yeah.
But everybody
cows.
That lived on the farm,
uh-huh.
Like we called it the quarters, they had a place they could grow their own garden.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of garden products were grown here, but that was not our main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. the main thing was a way to irrigate the tobacco or ditch off too much rain
mm-hmm.
or something. And tobacco grew under a shade, cheesecloth.
Cheesecloth.
The first shades, I think, were slats or something. I'll stop talking when you tell me to.
No, you keep talking. This is great. This is exactly what we want to hear. Because I was going to ask you the next question, if you could talk a little bit about the time period when the Shaw family grew shade tobacco crops and why it ended.
The Shaw family?
Yeah.
Well, it was when this man, Virginia Smith, he was called, came down from Virginia and brought the seeds down, those precious seeds, little bitty seeds. Well, when the families had a good bit of land, realized that they could grow that crop, that's what they wanted. And it had to be, it was called the outside wrapper on a cigar, before that little ring of what the cigar was put on, to tell you what it was, what kind it was. And so when the tobacco grew very well in this area, then packing houses opened up, and then manufacturing companies opened up. It was just an area, and it brought a lot of money into this area. And the banks were usually very anxious to give out a loan to someone that had the plans to grow this precious tobacco. And it really had to be like hand manicured with posts so high and white over it. People in the airlines would look at it and say, what in the world is that? But anyway, I've gotten off the subject again.
No, you're right in the middle of the subject, which is perfect. And what caused the end of the tobacco crops?
There were several good reasons. We still had the wonderful help that lived on the plantations or farms to help us get through the season and all, and we tried to have other jobs for them before and after that, but Central America started growing the tobacco, and so they could produce it much cheaper than we could. Just that was one of the things. And then, Wendy, do you remember what
cancer was coming from?
Cancer had gotten in the news about tobacco could cause different kinds of cancer, mostly, I think, through the neck or in the mouth. Those were some of them, but it was, you know, nobody ever really knew when somebody had cancer where it started, but it was blamed on smoking, you know, a lot. So we were in a bad predicament there. So we had very strong opposition at that time from Central America, and then the people that didn't want to have anything to do with smoking, they had declared it not. And there was one more reason. I was trying to think what it was, but
you know, it was a disease that got on in the tobacco.
That's right. Oh. Off and on, there would be a disease that attacked the tobacco. But these very specialized scientists would come down. And the two times that I can remember during my tobacco years, they found a remedy for that, but all that brought on more expense. And then there was also a big fertilizer problem at one time, and all. But
so was that in the 1960s that all of those things took place? And then so after the shade tobacco, how did life in terms of agriculture transition from shade tobacco to another crop was
very very difficult.
Uh-huh.
Because we had all these mouths on the farm, you know. Wendy thought we might have had
12
houses over there,
and people lived working
and,
on the farm.
Then they, you know, there was not nearly that much work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government ended up stepping in and helping them get through some tough times and certainly pushed education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the times of the early, in the olden times, even the children and the family could walk in there and work and even make enough to buy their own shoes and things. And they, I think they just loved it. They seemed to be happy about that, but that was cut out too, you know, some sort of law about the children working.
Sure, sure, sure.
Okay.
So after the shade tobacco crops, it sounds like tomatoes were transitioned in?
That was one of the things, and we experimented with that.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I think it was 15 acres as compared to 30 acres of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
But now a tomato field was over there,
mm-hmm.
and one off to the side
mm-hmm.
of the house down there. And that was a good thing that we could work a lot of people in,
mm-hmm.
but it turned out, and Wendy will agree with us, I wish you'd come over.
No.
Yeah, come please.
Come on, Wendy.
Yeah.
You want to sit by me. Anyway, in the tomatoes, Mexico.
We'll get you next, Wendy.
That's right, that's right.
No.
She wouldn't be shy. She was born on this farm.
I think we need
and, anyway,
yeah, yeah.
The tomatoes were demanding a lot of labor too, but the tomato people from South are like migrants,
mm-hmm,
Mexicans
mm-hmm.
or
uh-huh.
from other places. They were much faster.
Uh-huh.
And Wendy will testify to that.
She
even tried to work, and I've seen it. They were very fast,
uh-huh.
so that didn't help us very much with the
uh-huh.
labor
uh-huh.
problem. We
uh-huh.
still have the labor coming,
mm-hmm.
and we are turned into a tomato community now,
mm-hmm.
everywhere, but we didn't keep it up here. You had to be big
to
do that.
I see. I also heard that there was a, was it Hunt's? Was there a factory that made tomato, was a ketchup factory, or was there...
I don't remember anything like that.
Okay, I
but
remember
they
the dinner.
Had a factory, and Wendy worked in that for a while.
Gaston tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that could be very profitable,
mm-hmm.
or it could
not
kind
be,
of fall
okay.
short, too, but it was mostly a very good crop.
Hmm.
And usually, but crops are so subject to the weather.
True.
Like... even in the shade, hand manicured crops of our tobacco leaf,
mm-hmm.
it's too much rain or not enough. Of course, we could irrigate, and the tomato people do too.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
some of that can be controlled.
Well, and then you decided to move into your current crop of longleaf pine trees. And what brought about that decision?
Well, after we could no longer grow tobacco, then we had this huge farm,
mm-hmm.
and we tried growing hay,
mm-hmm.
and it was a lot of equipment,
mm-hmm.
expensive in that, and somehow or another that didn't work too well, and we had gotten rid of the cattle, and then all of a sudden, my husband had died at this
mm-hmm.
point, but he had already started some acreage of pine trees.
Mm.
So after studying a lot of things and then getting advised by other people, the Forestry Department of the United States will come in and help you kind of know what you're doing, the best place to plant, and how to keep the acreage growing through the years of growing pines. when we started planting, we didn't plant, we already had some of the longleaf, but we planted the crops that were more like, gosh, I can't think of the names right now. There were two kinds that we could grow, cut for lumber,
mm-hmm.
and that brought more money into mm-hmm. the farm. And then as we grew those farms, and I know those names very well, they just won't come up mm-hmm. right now. Too bad.
I remember you told me before, and I don't remember uh-huh. either. One was loblolly, well, not
loblolly and slash
That's
were
right.
the ones
yeah, yeah.
that were chosen
mm-hmm.
for the land mm-hmm. that they were on.
Mm-hmm.
And that included some land down toward Lake Talquin
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
another farm on the other side of the town called the Love Farm that mm-hmm. we also farmed
mm-hmm.
out there.
So over the years, how did you directly contribute to the farming? Like, did you help?
Well, I never actually was involved with the labor of the farm and how it was run and all. I just had the house
mm-hmm.
and the three children.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I really had the care of later on of my mother and Dick's mother.
Mm.
And that what made my life interesting,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I belonged to different clubs
mm-hmm.
and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we had payroll days,
mm-hmm.
I would go to the office
mm.
and help the secretary kind of balance the books
mm.
and help write out checks. There was a little machine that did
mm.
that. But
mm.
they seemed to appreciate my being able
uh-huh.
to do that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Lots of checks
uh-huh.
when we were in the midst of growing tobacco for two farms, really.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So that was sort of, that's when it was like the busiest in terms of
that's
the business
life.
That's how
I could contribute to farm labor.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I did try to run a house
mm-hmm.
that would be what would be appreciated at the time. And it was, we had a big noon meal.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that unfortunate?
Mm-hmm.
We know better. But that, we always had someone helping
uh-huh.
in the house, and they cooked the meal or help with the children. And then for supper, it was just easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just all over the county. That's the way
uh-huh.
the that it was set up. It didn't ever really change that much till much later.
Yes.
And the help got so many of the men in trouble that they changed their menus. I mean, having big meal. You want to say something?
Okay. It's me. It's what I'm saying. Yeah. What about, you went to FSU to college, didn't you? And it
I
was
went
called
to Florida State College for Women
right.
in 43. And it changed the name. It became a university instead of just a college in 47. And that was the year that I graduated. And what my diploma actually has Florida State College for Women granted by Florida State University. It changed the name 11 days before we graduated. But anyway, it was still, you know, we could still get into an auditorium, wear the caps, and then walk back through the crowd, and of course, it's so huge now that a lot of all of that has changed.
Yes. I'm trying to think, what were the hardest times during these years for the farm in agriculture?
When the tobacco would become diseased, or when it was there was too much rain on it, and your husband would come in like this. And then the we mentioned earlier there were two diseases that hit during the years, and one year there was a fertilizer failure. And it turned out that when they found out about this, there was some chicken feathers in the fertilizer. And that just didn't raise a good crop.
Interesting.
Anyway, my husband and other people that I knew took it to court, and they won the case, and the fertilizer company reimbursed the people that had said that their crop had been ruined, and it was a good thing to do.
What time period was that? Was that in the 50s?
I'm trying to
remember. Or the
40s? I'm not. So let me see. It was sort of like not too many years. Excuse me, please.
Sure.
It's an old age thing. But anyway, I wish I had a date on that. But I don't. But it was a good 10 years before the final decision was made, don't plant any more tobacco.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we should ask about. Amanda or Adam?
I thought I would ask a bit about your husband's family history here, too.
Yes, but I'm deaf. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, about your husband's family history in agriculture.
Yes.
You're going to tell us something about that.
All right. Yeah. Well, my husband's family lived here starting back in the 1800s, and his great-grandfather, and of course the residence is still in town here, the one in the country, he had two houses that he'd stay in, one if they were doing tobacco out there, and the other one would just be the family home. And I understood that he may have had a stagecoach, be on a stagecoach route. I mean, he was a very prominent citizen. And then after that, the next family was Mr. Shaw was involved in the Civil War. And he was injured, and was mostly in a chair at that time. And the county, the state, everything was very poor after the war, you know. So the little children, everybody from every family almost, had to just get out and scrounge the best they could to keep food on the table and keep everybody well. And then after that would have been my father-in-law. And he was very much involved in helping keep his family above water. We, it's an old expression, and his brother too, the brother James Shaw. Between the two of them, they seemed to make a very good gift to the community and brought money into the family again with their talents, even though I think they just had to get out and work when they were so young. But anyway, they did it. They loved their mother, and their father was injured in the war. And so he brought a lot of business into the community other than farms. He probably had about 7 farms.
So you had farms, so it was farming. What crops were those? Were those cotton?
Cotton was here before the tobacco.
Right.
And these were, what do you call the farmers that are, a lot of them farmed, not Lynn Lee, says something else.
Sure.
Like itinerant farmers, sharecroppers.
Sharecroppers, that's
yeah.
The word. And in fact, on this farm, we had a wonderful superintendent because it was a big deal. And like Wendy said, it was managed the whole farm had to be managed not only through the tobacco crop, but other things that, because y'all had to have some help from time to time. And then I like to think that they had a good life over there in the quarters, we called it. But they had to be, after the tobacco, there was no reason for most of them to stay around. Mm-hmm. But I was talking about the older Shaws. Anyway.
So they, initially they were business people that got into agriculture later.
Uh-huh. Well, and sort of, yeah, inherited what they were doing from the one before.
Right.
Because tobacco was brought into this area before, you know, anybody that I knew was.
Is that portrait of one of the family? Is that portrait of family?
Well, that goes back into my family.
Your family? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you. So that's. I am so sorry. Oh, I could drink a little water.
So everything. How many acres did you have in this area? So this is was the house with your husband, and then y'all had all the
No, this was a house in addition to the original farm. And when we were married, we made a choice of just getting a house in town or remodeling this house, which was on an added acreage to the original land. And I think that it may have been 1,000 acres to begin with. And then a few lots have been sold off here and there and all. And now I believe I'm paying taxes on 773. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's like our business part of the farm now is really the pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
And having good foresters and having people that we really like to come in and tell us what to do and about what to burn, what schedule. Now my son handles all of this now,
okay.
Even from Colorado. This just the way it is.
What year did your husband die?
In 84.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of your children have a desire to farm or keep working in agriculture?
Well, my son, he says he was involved with the farm at 7 years old. I do remember later, when the people that worked in the barns, and you know what the barns looked like, you know, there were probably 11 on this farm, but when they converted from hand stringing to mechanical machines, when Dick would come home from school and after college too, when he was there, he'd drive up and his dad would say, "Dick, come on, I gotta get you to fix this machine for me." And he was really good at helping with the machines. And then later on, at that time, early in that, I wish I could remember dates better. But even if I'd written them down, I wouldn't be able to find them. But anyway, we had charcoal pits in the barns. When the tobacco is hanging on the strings, and Wendy, I bet you could find some pictures of this thing. Well, I won't get into that now. But they had to be, someone should be saying this that really knows what they're talking
sure.
about. But
cured. Yeah.
That's the word. It had to be just right. And we started off with charcoal pits in the barn. And then someone had to stay all night to be sure that was looked after. And then they converted to the gas little burners. And that still had to be monitored all the time. But at the demise of the tobacco, all of those things had to be gotten rid of, and the barns were no longer used except maybe to store hay, or I can't think of anything else. Can you, Wendy?
No, ma'am.
Yes, but a memory than I do.
So the coal and the gas were to dry out.
It would
the
bring it to the right temperature.
I see.
And you had to feel it, you had to see it, and it was a certain color that would turn.
And still be flexible enough.
Oh yeah,
to
and
shape.
Not care.
So not
but
too
when
dry.
When they got into the factory, they could spread. They, of course, you sort of more or less went through auctions to sell all this tobacco. But when it got into the factory, they could spread it out one leaf at a time, and cut something like the shape of a cigar that would wrap around the outside. And the filler, at that time, we were doing this, the outside leaf. The center was raised in Cuba, the filler part in Cuba, and then they raised some of the outside too, but it was mainly different. And when we got on different sides of Cuba, all the Americans were sent off the island. And that our filter, what was it, you know, more or less the end of that. There were several things that worked against the demise of the tobacco, which is still grown somewhat in Connecticut River Valley. And I've been up there to visit. It's very pleasant up there. And I think it's still going on.
Isn't that curious that there was one county in Connecticut
right.
and one county in North Florida that could grow the same crop?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, but South Georgia did the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, we had land very much like South Georgia. It was called the Other Florida because it wasn't like South Florida.
What? Did we establish what years approximately that tobacco went out? Would it be the 60s?
Did you? 1974.
74.
19 what?
74.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There is documentation about all this in about 3 books. And this, of course, is just one of the describing the different forms in Oakland. That was given to me, and I may have the date on it, I'm not sure. But that's what the barn looked like. Hmm. And so many of them later on caught on fire. Vandals would come in and sleep, and even some of the superintendent's houses had to be destroyed because no one was living there anymore, and it was not a good place.
I still see a lot of tobacco barns standing all throughout, where I'm from, Madison County, and there's tons of them.
Yeah,
there,
tobacco too.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
So, just falling down.
Yeah.
Tobacco barns falling down.
Yeah. Oh, we had it all over the place. Yeah. And I think we actually might have pushed down the last one. We needed them when we were trying to cut and sell hay, because you could use some of them there. But that kind of went by the wayside too. I think I'm forgetting a lot of the things. But anyway.
Most of the food that you ate when you were in, like you mentioned, the dinners that you had or the lunches, that would all have been food that you brought from farms nearby or people
Oh, well,
that grew it,
actually,
or?
We had a nice big garden at one time, and then there'd be small gardens around where somebody might bring in something. But we still grocery shopped.
Okay. how you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were not independent like the romantic stories of the old plantations. But anyway.
And meat too, with anybody, no one would slaughter a hog or a for those things at all. It would all come from the grocery store at that time.
We, through the 4-H clubs, we would buy a steer every year and put it in the freezer. And then, you know, that would last a long time. And it was a good community thing to do. And my son was involved in that somewhat.
What about the Coca-Cola era of Gadsden County?
All right. The man, Mr. Pat Monroe, was president of the Quincy State Bank. And as I mentioned earlier, this didn't happen with our family, but a lot of the farmers would go in to borrow money to start their crop or buy a tractor or buy something else. And he could tell them a story about the values of owning Coca-Cola stock. I don't know how the family, they were all good friends of mine, but I don't know how to repeat exactly what all went on, but it caused a lot of people to buy the Coca-Cola stock. Then all of a sudden there was just an awful lot of it in Gadsden County. The person that gave me this book, Julia Wiggles, a daughter of Mr. Monroe. Oh, they have done wonderful things for the county with their generosity of having, you know, this wonderful amount of money to help us spend on things that were really needed. They kept a lot of the things here, and Mr. Pat had a lot of children, and I think he was able to give each one of them $1 million. But that was not my story. I really probably shouldn't be able to be.
Well, I wondered if that. Yeah, I knew you'd be aware of it. And
oh, very much. Very much.
That it was
and fun. I like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all had a little stuff. But when they would get that, they needed to hold it. Not play the stock market like I'll let that go or that sort of thing. From what I understand, I need one of them here telling me right now, oh, that's not right. But anyway, that's what I knew about. And like I said, they have been so generous. The ones that have made their fortunes in Coca-Cola have been very generous to this area. We are now at the lowest ebb that I have ever known this county to be. And no one really wants to come back here to live because there's not enough going on to support very bright people that want to start or continue this or continue that. The old families, some of the children would come back. But in my family even, I don't think anybody will come back. They can run the farm from afar, but...
Are any of your children here? None of your children are here?
No, I have two in Colorado. They love that. And then I have one in Tallahassee who comes to Quincy to work with the migrant program. You know, 10 months out of the year, or maybe a little bit more than that. And she, you know, checks on me every day. So that makes that nice. But my older children, both of them in their 60s, they come often. And we think of it as a vacation, but my son does. He's taking over more and more, and I like it. I like it. And he's fine, and my daughter that comes always helps me with things I need to see about in the house on a little vacation, daily or whatever. I'm pretty old. And when you can't drive.
Yep.
And Wendy doesn't want to learn.
No,
but I have I have two people I can call on if I have a doctor's appointment. Is this getting very personal?
we can sort of finish up here.
Well,
we've had really good conversation. I mean, it's been wonderful interviews. So
yeah.
It's, you know, it's great.
Well, I hope that I have said a lot of the things that, you know, are in these booklets,
mm-hmm.
and the pictures are there, so you can see
mm-hmm.
that, and it's just a family, truly, I think, was handed down, like, in three generations,
mm-hmm.
And people that love to think back about the times they were living on the farm. There it is hanging,
mm-hmm.
and see the shade post?
Uh-huh.
When we took shades down, we built the white fence around the house that needs painting right now.
Oh,
in
just,
here, you try
uh-huh.
to use what you can.
Sure.
And then, I don't know, I've enjoyed my life.
That's important.
And a lot of it was, of course, the community. It was very much the community. And in this community, we have been very much ingrained into our churches and into... we used to have wonderful stores around the square, we call it. But after the business left, no one really wanted to come back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're vacant stores. And we are, I think, probably one of the largest communities or counties that are very dependent on welfare. Because
not enough jobs for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the younger generation begins to expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the will and the drive and all to learn to do things, but it's getting much better. In many ways, because education is being pushed so much, and it wasn't expected necessarily
mm-hmm.
of the ones that were living around here. That, you know, it was good, but they came to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm.
I don't want to get too personal about
sure,
all this.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Well, I hope you can use it in some way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think there's somebody in the office that will do a little editing, but then I think you'll be sending her a tape. Or
we can get you copies of everything.
Well, we used to have lots of movies that we made
uh-huh.
within the family and of course, the projector and all that and the screen, but that's all gone.
Yeah. That's a different day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you still have the films?
I do. It's old. Old film.
Oh, there you go. He's the man for that.
If you're interested in donating them or lending them to the state archives,
well, you see,
yeah,
but this film would be more family than it would be what was going on. I think I maybe have took one reel of, if I could find it, of when we stopped pouring tobacco.
Huh.
I think I walked over there
and
took that. But, you wouldn't be interested in all this baby stuff, mama and daddy.
You do, because sometimes you'll see things that are Florida, like Christmas. celebrations, Easter, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So we did collect that because you get to see that history of Florida and how people lived and what they took films of.
Well,
so photographs and film were interesting.
If we had our Christmas morning things, I'm in a bathrobe. Tired, my hair's probably not combed, and I'm trying to keep everybody happy.
Sure, you know
you like that present.
Well, at the very least, you should at least for your kids get them. You can take them to Costco and have them treated.
I've thought of some of that. Now this is a picture of a tobacco shade,
and the
all that, and that's the shade.
Yeah.
And it's white. And
was it cheesecloth? Was it like cheesecloth?
Yeah. It was yes. And so in the livestock barn, they would choose a place up there to put the cheesecloth in, to kind of store it. But it never did really store as well as it should. And you were, so that was a nice salesman's job. To sell cheesecloth. And that was good. That was really good. But see, this is the tobacco. I was showing Wendy this morning. The tobacco hanging, and they'd go way up high in the barns. I don't know how many levels. But they're standing on something, I'm sure. But they have to have that fire burning to cure the tobacco. And it was a tricky thing, but my husband was very, very good at all of it. It was too bad. After it left us, he had too much time on his hand. And now we see a lot of that, but fortunately there are all kind of things that can come along where they can get another job,
Sure.
Or some other things.
Yep.
Next time you come, I'll have some food for you.
Oh, no, we're good.